We come to a time again as a congregation where the Lord's table has been set before us. We see this table. We have a visual of the feast to which we will come. And we've read again from Isaiah chapter 53, and we're slowly meditating our way through that chapter as we prepare to come to the table and commune with the Lord and with one another. And last time, sort of setting our pace that I promised, we looked at the first half of Isaiah 53, verse 1, that asks the question, who has believed our report? We began looking at that question and examining ourselves and discerning where we stood before the Lord, where each of us stood before the Lord. And this morning, we're going to look at the second half of verse 1, the second question that the prophet puts before us. And that question is, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? We just sang about this arm of the Lord, and if we look through the scriptures, this motif of the arm of the Lord comes up time and time again in the scriptures. And when we look here at Isaiah 53 and we hear this question that the prophet is asking, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? We realize that the remainder of this chapter, as we work our way through this chapter, the prophet reveals to us that arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord is revealed in Isaiah 53. We are going to see in that revealing in weeks and months ahead, we're going to see the unfolding of the Messiah in all of his suffering and the unfolding of the Messiah in all of his glory. And this question, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's a question for your meditation. It's a question for you to take hold of as a question that not only the prophet asks you, but a question that the Lord himself asks you and asks you to meditate on. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And you're asking yourself where you stand within that question. It's a question for our meditation. And it's a question as we see the arm of suffering and the arm of that the Lord Jesus puts forth as the one who is revealed. The arm of the Lord is the way of this suffering servant. And we see the gospel itself unfold before us. We take this question, and as we prepare to come to this table, we take this question and we examine our lives. We examine our hearts. And we look within as we're looking to the Lord and asking for Him to commune with us as we commune with Him, the arm of the Lord. And we're going to begin with looking at the arm of the Lord as a powerful arm. Our first heading, the arm of the Lord is a powerful arm. What does that mean, that it's a powerful arm? That God has a powerful arm. Maybe the children in the room, when you hear that God has a powerful arm, what are some of the things that come to mind for you? Now, I think that it's important to remind you that God does not have a literal arm. God, when we're talking about the arm of God, we're not talking about a literal arm. Remember question 4 of the Shorter Catechism. one that you've memorized recently, asks the question, what is God? And you remember the answer, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. The first part of that, God is a spirit. So when we come to the scriptures and we hear something in the Word of God, like God has a powerful arm, or you hear the pastor say God has a powerful arm, you're not to think about that literally. You're to think about the fact that God is spiritual. But God has a powerful arm is what Isaiah tells us. God does not have a body, but it's a statement first and foremost of the power of God, his ability to save that which is lost, and his ability to redeem that which is in need of redemption. The arm of God is his strength, and his strength is especially used in his power to save. We talk about the works of God in creation and the works of God in providence. And the work of God in creation, it was a powerful work, but that work is completed. He's completed the work of creation, and now we're in the work of providence. And there's a special providence that God has given to us in that he is redeeming a people unto himself. And his strength is revealed most mightily in his ability and willingness to save. The arm of God is his strength, and his ability to save demonstrates that. Psalm 98, a psalm that we often sing as we open worship. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. It is an ability and a willingness to save, and the arm of the Lord in his strength goes forth and takes victory. It takes the strength of God to overcome his enemies. Psalm 18 that we sang this morning, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. So again, God's right hand or God's arm goes forth in power for victory, and it goes forth and it does valiantly unto the Lord. The arm of God celebrates the fact that God goes forth to save his people, to save those who are in sin, to save those that have rebelled against him by nature. But that sounds pretty general, right? The arm of the Lord, strength, it's God going forth in victory. But the scriptures sharpen that arrow. They sharpen that arrow. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So if the arm of God is that ability of God to go forth in power, and that arm of God does valiantly, and that arm of God is that which has the victory, and the arm of God is that power to save that which was lost, the Apostle Paul comes in and says, I'm not ashamed of this. It's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So when Isaiah the prophet says, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And he's asking a question about the power of God going forth to save that which was lost. Without Isaiah using that term gospel or good news, even though in the book of Isaiah that term is used, the Apostle Paul says, the gospel goes forth. The gospel is that which is the power of God unto salvation. But I want to sharpen it more. I want to sharpen the power of God in that arm. And we see that it's not merely a message. It's not merely the message of good news that is the power of God, which is glorious, right? The gospel is glorious. When we look at our sin and we say, I'm unable to pay for this sin, and I have a debt before a holy God, and the gospel comes forth as a message that says, you are a sinner and you are in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. The power of God in that right arm is Jesus Christ. The person of Christ behind the gospel, the power of Christ who has redeemed the elect, who has secured salvation, who has satisfied the full justice of God. Jesus Christ goes forth in power to save the church. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 23 and 24. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ, in his person and in his work, is the one that goes forth powerfully that you and I may be redeemed. So we hear these texts and we see the power of God associated with the arm of God, and we hear it and we understand the arm of God is this powerful arm, and we see that the scriptures reveal the power of God is the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus going forth and the work of Christ, the gospel and the application of the gospel. Jesus is this power of God. The arm of the Lord is powerful. And the acts of God, redemption, is revealed in Christ. Friends, let's go back to Isaiah's question. Let's look at our own hearts. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You can ask yourself that question. You can say, has the arm of the Lord been revealed to me? Do I hear what Pastor Nathan's saying and follow those syllogisms and follow that logic? Arm, strength, power, victory, gospel, Jesus. Am I able to hear that and say, that is true? And it's for me. It is a powerful arm. Has the arm of the Lord been revealed to you? That's the question the prophet puts forth. He writes this not so that we will just look on it and say, yeah, that's interesting stuff. That's a really good point. And then move on with life. No, Isaiah wants us to stop, and he wants us to look at this question, and he wants us to take it in and take ownership of it, and to say, the arm of the Lord has been revealed to me. Congregation, if this power of God has been revealed to you, you are to give him the glory. You are to give him your life. All that you have offered before him. You are to give him the praise. And if he is yours, and as you come to this table of grace, I would encourage you to feast. And I would encourage you to drink deeply. And I would encourage you to taste and see that the Lord is good. For He is a powerful Savior. Psalm 23 says that the table is laid out before us in the midst of what? Enemies. You say, well, you know, I don't have a problem with anyone in this church. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that we have the comfort to come and to feast and to know that at the doors is the powerful one, the one that protects his people from enemies trying to come. Nobody has a feast in the midst of a battlefield, but we do. Because your God is powerful. Because the arm of the Lord has been revealed and we are able to feast. But as we consider the arm of God and its power, we need to remember that the Scriptures tell us other things. The Scriptures tell us that it is not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The way in which God accomplishes that which comes to pass is not in the idea of power as we would understand power. It's not in might the way that we would understand might. This isn't 12-year-old boys arm wrestling to see who is able to do this or to do that. Our second heading is that the arm of God is a spiritual arm. A spiritual arm. The text asks the question, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And that is the power of God that flows from the wisdom of God, and it's seen in the gospel, and it's seen in the person and work of Christ. But what we have to understand is that that work and the application of that work is a spiritual work, and it is a spiritual application. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Friends, do you know of the deep things of God? Are you able to swim deeply in those waters, to swim in the enjoyment of the fact that the Lord has revealed to us Himself in His Word and the Word made flesh in Jesus Christ? And we are able to be redeemed. We are able to be forgiven of sin. We are able to have a conscience that is clear of guilt. And we are able, when we die, to know that we will stand in the presence of God and be received. This power of God, this arm of the Lord is revealed to us spiritually. We step back and you take a look at Isaiah 53 as a whole, and we're reminded that the Lord Jesus powerfully comes and He powerfully secures salvation as the suffering servant. That's how He's revealed in the text. The suffering servant. And remember, this is written thousands of years before the Lord Jesus, but it's the Spirit of God that takes that life and work of Jesus Christ, that perfect life and that perfect death that was received by God as an appropriate suffering for sin. And the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, applies that truth to your life. The Spirit of God applies that to your heart and to your mind. This work of God is a spiritual work first and foremost. And when we look at Isaiah 53, and we ask ourselves the question, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? We know that it's the Spirit of God that comes and indwells sinners, that revealing may happen spiritually. You see, you can look at the text of the Scriptures and say, yeah, I believe that. Big deal. You say, yeah, I think Jesus is a real person. I mean, even ancient historians talked about this person, Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Pastor Nathan, what do you want from me? You see, that is what we would call historical faith. Those that look at the Bible and those that look at the person of Jesus and say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, the Bible's the Word of God. And yeah, sure, Jesus died on a cross. But has the Spirit of God opened your heart that you may look at those things, the person of Christ, the work of Christ, the death of Christ on a cross? Are you able to examine your heart and mind and ask yourself whether the Spirit of God has powerfully and savingly and wonderfully applied that gospel truth to your life? The Spirit of God is able to take general statements like, well, of course Jesus died for sin on the cross. A general statement, and powerfully and spiritually apply it to your heart and say, this Jesus died for my sin specifically. See, there's a big difference between those two statements. Jesus died for sin, and Jesus died specifically for my sin. It's the Spirit of God that applies that to me. My sin, my heart, my soul, my mind. We talk about experiential application. Do you take ownership of this? The Spirit of God applies that to me. The work of the arm of God is a spiritual work where the Holy Spirit applies redemption and makes Jesus Christ what John Murray, Professor John Murray, calls the absorbing preoccupation of faith. You see, we're not just Christians. You know, census box checked. We're not just Presbyterians. We're not just Reformed Presbyterians. We're not just Calvinists. Whatever label you want to put on us, the question before us is Jesus Christ, the absorbing preoccupation of your faith? Has the person and work of Christ been applied to you by the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God works faith through regeneration or being born again, and He does this inward work in the heart and in the mind. He does this in our souls, and we're able to throw ourselves at the foot of the cross, acknowledging the person and work of Christ, taking ownership, saying, the Spirit of God has softened my heart of stone and given me a heart of flesh, so that that Jesus is no longer that Jesus, but my Jesus. The Spirit of God is the one who does that powerfully. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. The Spirit applies this. And we know that the Spirit is also a dividing spirit. The Gospels would put it like this: there's those that hear, and there's those that hear. You say, well, that's helpful. You can hear preaching, and the message you take away is, well, Pastor Nathan seems to really believe what he's talking about. Or you can hear preaching and say, Christ spoke to me today. The Spirit of God divides. There are those that hear and yet do not live. And then there are those that hear. And in the Hebrew mind, hearing is associated with obedience. When you hear, you act. It's the Spirit of God that reveals that to us. I can give you an example of that. In Acts 16, we meet Lydia, and we're told in Acts 16 that on the Sabbath day, we, the preachers, Paul, went out to the city by a riverside where prayer was being made. We sat down and we spoke unto the woman which resorted there, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So she hears the preaching. The Lord opens the heart, and she attends unto the things being said. There's hearing. She heard what was being preached. And the Spirit of God, called here the Lord, opens her heart that she would hear and then believes and obeys. The arm of God is a spiritual arm. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Do you hear Christ calling you? Do you hear your will being beckoned to respond? Do you acknowledge the work of the Spirit of God as the arm of God receives the victory, even that victory over your very soul? Has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And thirdly, we see it's powerful, it's spiritual. And what should be most obvious, it's revealed. Our third heading is a revealed arm. And the question that the prophet puts before us is simple. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And clearly, this arm of the Lord, this powerful and spiritual work, is an elevating of Jesus Christ and a revealing that the Spirit of God does through His Word and reveals further even to us through the sacraments that is before us and through the gospel, which is the good news, and through the person and work of Christ. And the question, the revealed question, or the revealing question for you is, has it been revealed to you? Now, that's not magical. This isn't a mystical thing. We're not going to turn the lights off and all sit in silence and listen for God to speak. You know why? Because God is speaking in His Word. It's not a mystical thing where we're going to look for some mystical experience or some mystical event to say that God has been revealed to us. It's a revealing where God uses the ordinary things that he says he's going to use ordinarily. He uses simple things to reveal himself. He uses the reading of the scriptures and the singing of the psalms and the preaching of the word. And he uses the prayers of the saints and the sacraments won before us today. He uses these ordinary things, and we stop and we listen and we turn the noise of the world down. Is not your life full of noise? We turn it down and we listen. And we hear the word of the Lord revealed. It is revealed to us, and we understand that this revealing is a sovereign question. It's a question where God works in our lives. It's God is the one that speaks. God is the one that starts. God is the one that initiates the hearing. And we ask, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And we think through Isaiah 53, and we ask questions. Do you love the work of Christ? Do you find beauty in the one that has no beauty? Do you accept the rejected one? Do you find joy in the man of sorrows? Do you stand before the face of the one who has hidden his face? Do you love the one who was esteemed not? You see, the sovereign and heart-changing will of God will take this Christ and reveal him to you and powerfully apply him to you. Has your heart been changed? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's a gospel question. Again, continuing with Isaiah 53. Has he borne your griefs? Has he carried your sorrows? Was he wounded for your transgressions? Do his stripes provide you healing? Was his chastisement peace applied to you? Was he bruised for you? Friends, we look to this revealed arm and we run to Christ by faith, don't we? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." This is what calls sinners. This is what reveals God. It's a gospel question. But there's also today before us an application, a sacramental application. You see this table. Is this table for you? And specifically for most especially our young people that have yet to make profession of faith. I know some of you are in that process. You're planning that. You're talking with some now. But young people, listen, this table, is this table yours? When we come up front and we sit and we commune, are you able with a holy hatred to say, I deserve to be at that table, not because of who I am, but because of what Christ has done for me? Do you belong here? Has the arm of the Lord been revealed to you? Is this table set for you? Has God set this table for you? Do you see that bread and see Christ? And when it's broken, do you hear the words of the prophet that he was broken for his people? And you see that cup, the cup that in wonderful biblical fashion is both called the cup of wrath and the cup of blessing. Wrath unto Christ, blessing unto us. Do you see redemption at this table, in this feast? You see, we're called to examine, aren't we? We examine a lot. We examine the table. We examine what we hear, and we compare it with other things that we know to be true in the Word of God. And most especially today, we examine our own hearts. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I hope that every one of you can say, to me, the arm of the Lord has been revealed to me. Congregation, you need this Savior. You need this application. You need this redemption applied to you. You need this supper as sustaining grace for our pilgrimage. And there's a question. Has Jesus Christ and His gospel been revealed to you? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You say, to me. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To me. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Lord Jesus, to me. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the sacrament that is before us. And we pray that you would bless our endeavors, that you would soften our hearts, and that you would bring us to the foot of the cross. Amen.